At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, yo, this is Gear, and when I'm not helping out my pal Static, I have my backpack always playing Geekcast Radio Network.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to TuneCast Beyond. This is Season 2. We are now entering the Works of Dreams, or the Dream of Works. I don't freaking know. Of course, as always, is brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm your host, DJ Mike, and joining me is JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
Good day, good day.
Yes, today we're going to be kicking off Season 2, the DreamWorks Spotlight, with a twofer. This is the Shrek franchise part 1. We're going to be talking about Shrek and Shrek 2. So how have you been, sir, since Season 1 wrapped up oh so many months ago?
Pretty good. I mean, I can't complain. I mean, I'm sure
I could, but it wouldn't help.
What's that?
You could, but it wouldn't help.
Yeah, I just find I'm in love with my own voice most of the time, so.
And yet you barely podcast.
Low blow.
Unauthentic geek.
I will crawl through the internets and I will hurt you, Blanchard.
Right. Hell, TV's Mr. Neil already nearly crippled me. I'll tell you that story off air.
Okay.
But yeah, Shrek and Shrek 2. First up, we're going to be talking about Shrek. So here you go with the theatrical trailer, or one of the teasers, or one of them stupid trailers. I don't know. We'll be back after this.
Princess, where are you? It's very spooky in here. I'm playing my games.
Well, at least we know where the princess is. But where's the
dragon?
DreamWorks Pictures invites you to a land of fairy tales.
Hey! Oh, no, 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 no. Dead girl, off the table!
Where are we supposed to put her? The bed's taken.
What?
Where an unlikely hero...
Ah! You definitely need some Tic Tacs or something, because your breath stinks!
...rescues a fair princess...
You didn't slay the dragon?
It's on my to-do list.
...from a nasty villain...
Eat me!
With the help of his trusty companion.
This is gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
This summer, one name spells action.
You're not exactly what I expected.
One name spells adventure.
How about him?
Before this is over, I'm gonna need a whole lot of serious therapy.
One name.
Don't look down.
Trick, I'm looking down.
Spells romance.
It's no way to behave in front of a princess.
She's as nasty as you are.
Come on.
There's an arrow in your butt.
Oh.
And that name is
Shrek.
Shrek. Thank you very much. I'm here till Thursday.
Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, John Lithgow.
You love this woman, don't you?
Yes.
You want to hold her?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Then you got the
a little peasant.
Shrek.
Wow.
Let's do that again.
No, no.
So now that you have heard the trailer to Shrek, we're going to get into it. Just to set the stage here, Shrek is a 2001 American computer-animated fantasy comedy film directed by Andrew Adamson and Vicky Jensen. Featuring the voices of Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and John Lithgow, it is loosely based on William Steig's 1990 fairy tale picture book, Shrek, and also somewhat serves as children's parody film, targeting other films adapted from various children's fantasies, mainly Disney films. When did you first see this, and did you see it in theaters?
Oddly enough, I saw this in theaters, like, opening weekend, because the year this came out, the summer it came out, I was working at the local movie theater back home in Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
Mm.
And I actually was looking forward to this because I've always, I mean, anyone that knows me knows I love cartoons and, you know, certainly animated films. And in a summer that also included Osmosis Jones, this was the cream of the frickin' crop.
Yeah, this blew Osmosis Jones out of the water.
I had nothing but love for Eddie Murphy and David Hyde Pierce, but come on. But to the point, no, I saw, like, I still have the teaser poster where it has, like, the headshot of Shrek next to Myers and so on and so forth. And this is one of my all-time favorite DreamWorks films, honestly. And it's up there in Michael Myers, you know, au revoir, whatever the word is. It's definitely one of my favorite Mike Myers films because this film is just legit funny.
It is, yeah.
I mean,
it's so amazing. I actually did see this in theaters as well, and it was so great because it's essentially it's a satire on other fairy tales is really what it is, or it's
a look at fairy tales through a cracked lens, basically.
A very cracked lens, yes.
Fractured fairy tales, if you will.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. I absolutely love it though. The people that they got for this, just amazing, and the chemistry between all the characters, because, you know, as we said, you know, you got Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, and John Lithgow are the four mains, and you still have people like Jim Cummings as the Captain of the Guards. You've got Vincent Cassel as Monsieur Hood, Conrad Verman as Gingerbread Man. Just, you know, I mean, obviously the big four are the big four, but just amazing casting all around. Honestly, it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the great thing. I mean, and it's certainly when you take on a project like this that where you're basically, you know, taking the sharp stick and you know, poking at something as beloved as fairy tales, you got to be careful. I mean, but yeah, see, the one thing, again, like you said, the chemistry between the cast and specifically, you know, Shrek and Donkey, Myers and Murphy, that's like, honestly, that's up there. If I were to make like a top 10 list of favorite comedic duos, you know, they would be up there.
Yeah.
Because the way, I mean, the way, and I'm amazed that they got Donkey's mouth to move in time with Eddie Murphy's words, because... that dude is like the Flash some days.
Yeah.
When it comes to talking. And then you look at stuff like, you know, Lord Farquaad was voiced by John Lithgow. And I mean, this is a guy that I've been a fan of, like, even before Third Rock from the Sun, through stuff like Ricochet, you know, Buckaroo Banzai. You know, he can play these over the top, like, you know, ego type characters. And then the idea that they're the biggest ego in the land, it tops out at like 3'5". You know, that was just funny.
4 feet, including the ears. Oh, wait, wrong movie. Sorry. Yeah.
And I mean, that chin, I mean...
Yeah.
I think
Lord Farquaad is essentially... It is John Lithgow, but in animation. You know,
yeah, but
same thing with...
They gave him Bruce Campbell's chin. Because that's a chin that could kill.
Yes. You know, it's just, you know, and you said Lithgow, he is so versatile, because I think, and again, this I've said this many times on many other shows, when I was, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, my mom let me watch anything. I think I saw Ricochet when I was 10 or 11. I honestly think I did. And his character in Ricochet is so evil, so just like evil incarnate.
Legit scary.
Yeah, like you don't want to fuck with that guy at all. And then, you know, obviously a number of years later, you go into, you know, doing Third Rock, you go into doing, you know, Shrek, and it's like, holy crap. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I did this before, earlier in July, The Dark Knight Rises came out, and before that movie came out, I went back because I completely forgot, and this is kind of a tangent here, but completely forgotten, didn't realize that Gary Oldman was Zorg from The Fifth Element. So I went back and I had TV's Mr. Neal put a side-by-side pickup of Zorg on the left and Mr. Gordon on the right to showcase how how versatile that Gary Oldman is. The same thing with John Lithgow. You could do that today with, you know, any of his roles, and they're so varied, and it just shows you how far and willing he is to go to get himself into a role and to really own each character individually, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, the dude, he is a character actor. I mean, you look at the prolific is probably the best word to describe his career. Mm-hmm. I mean, then you look at, you know, Princess Fiona. Now, say what you will about Cameron Diaz and her career. I mean, my crush aside, I do think she is legit funny. You know, she's just got that natural comedic talent.
In animation, I will say yes. In real life, I do not find
her funny. Well, real life. The only one that I see, like, actual, like, she does, she's one of the few actresses that, you know, she can do funny. Like, not how well is a matter of personal opinion. But, I mean, you look, okay, look at the intro to her character in Charlie's Angels where, you know, she's doing the big disco dance and she wakes up and she's just bopping around in the Wonder Woman underoos. You know, there was no shame there, you know, because, I mean, that you don't get that natural.
She owned it, but the comedy was shameful, in my opinion.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, I liked her because, you know, she plays sweet and she plays badass and, you know, we'll talk about it more when you get into, like, the talk about the animation, like, the design. I like the fact that, you know, human Fiona looks like Cameron Diaz, but ogre Fiona, you get that, you know, mile-wide smile.
Yeah, I kind of
like that. I mean, I don't know if anyone else really noticed that was intended or not, but that's how I see it, is just, you know, when she's Fiona, she gets that, you know, chiclet smile, mile-wide like that, and I love that. Even when then you look at, like, Eddie Murphy, who doesn't love Donkey?
Oh, God.
Which is one of my favorite bits. If you've ever watched, it was the I'm Not Fat, I'm Fluffy special from this comedian, Gabriel Iglesias, has this Shrek joke in there. So, I mean, check him out. But it's just, yeah, it's Eddie Murphy as Donkey. They play to his strengths, which is mile a minute.
they do, and it was pretty awesome. I mean, it's like, you know, how can you, not so much as the acting job, but how can you transform Eddie Murphy's personality into the character of Donkey? And they did it just amazingly.
Well, yeah, it's Axel Foley on four legs, but yeah, no, I mean, it's just
it's family friendly Axel Foley on four legs, because if it was real Axel Foley on four legs, no, that wouldn't work.
This was Beverly Hill Cops 3 on four legs, let's be honest, in terms of family friendliness. But no, it's the best thing about it, like, where, you know, Donkey cocks his head to the smile, gives a smile, it's Eddie Murphy's smile.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I just love the fact that, you know, Donkey might be an idiot, but he ain't stupid in that respect. Just because, you know, he's talking all this trash, but there's a couple of grains of truth in what he says. So, I mean, the best voice in this movie, in my opinion, was Mike Myers. And a lot of people, like, say, I was like, oh, he's just doing his fat bastard voice. It's like, no, this is more akin to the character he played in So I Married an Axe Murderer, you know, like, head down in front.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever seen that one, is he really puts a lot of heart and soul into Shrek's performance. And you actually, you know, like the scene where he talks about how people, Shrek's talking about how people judge him before they know him. And you can actually hear that pain in his voice, you know, the character's voice, of how, you know, he might just want to be left alone, but he doesn't want to be alone. You know, you get that with Shrek throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And that's I think that's a testament to Mike Myers' capabilities as a comedic actor, that you can you know, play the tough guy, but he can also, you know, the tough guy with a softy or a soft spot. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you look at the many characters Mike Myers played over the years, like, you know, Lothar of the Hill People and Wayne from Wayne's World and all that. It's just, I think he kind of, with Shrek, he kind of distilled that essence of all these characters of that he's played and just kind of came up with this, not necessarily when I say voice, not the actual physical voice, but, you know, what carries across mm-hmm. in his performance. It just, it all kind of comes together in Shrek.
Oh yeah, it so does. It very much does. You know, and Shrek himself, as, you know, as the character, it's like the dude wants to be hard, but he keeps getting put into situations where he needs to be more caring. He just wants people to leave. Like, he's, you know, the whole point of the movie is, and I'm kind of transitioning into the plot a bit, but the whole point of the movie is everyone hates ogres. Ogres chase everyone. Ogres are, you know, it's essentially judging a book by its cover. You know, yes. And he wants to live up to that judgment. Yet, you know, throughout the movie, he keeps running into situations where he has to not essentially change, but tone it down a bit.
Well, yeah, and also it's kind of like he wants to break out of his comfort zone, but he doesn't want to break out of his comfort zone. You know, he's just, he doesn't realize that he'd be a lot happier with somebody in his life, but he'd also like to just go and be a hermit in the swamp and, you know, be an ogre, you know, get your torches and pitchforks. So.
Old Ben Kenobi the ogre.
Yes.
All right. So the basic plot of this is that Shrek is a grouchy, mean, selfish green ogre that has always enjoyed living in the peaceful solitude in his swamp, finds his life disrupted when numerous fairy tale beings, including Pinocchio, the Three Little Pigs, and Donkey, are forced into the swamp by order of the obsessive, perfectionistic, fairy tale despising Lord Farquaad. Shrek leaves the swamp to ask Farquaad to return his privacy. When Donkey happily tagging along. God, I can't talk today. Meanwhile, Farquaad tortures the gingerbread man into revealing the whereabouts of the remaining fairy tale creatures until his guards rush in with an object Farquaad has been searching for, the magic mirror. Essentially, what this is it's a play on the whole. I know they do Rapunzel later in the film franchise, but essentially this is kind of Rapunzel. This is kind of like Rapunzel and Snow White mixed into one, because she's a princess in a tower.
Yeah, with Fiona and all that.
Yeah.
And the winner will have the privilege of, where Shrek goes to talk to Farquaad about, you know, get these people the hell out of my house, basically. And he and Donkey end up on this quest to go and rescue Princess Fiona, which is probably one of my favorite sequences in the movie. I mean, certainly the opening of the movie where, you know, they're playing Smash Mouth's All Star, and yes, I'll admit that song was played the hell out in the early thousands, but I still love it. Just the setup of establishing, you know, Shrek with, like, him with the mud shower, and, you know, where I love where he turns the log over and the maggots form the title of the movie, which, while gross, was also kind of entertaining.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love where probably the favorite part in that opening sequence was he reaches in the ear and he pulls out, like, more or less a fully formed candle out of his earwax. I was like, oh, God, that's disgusting, but also brilliant.
Yeah, that is kind of brilliant.
And just the, you know, the, just where you see him, just the look, the way the animators just animate the look of annoyance on his face when everyone's crashing in his swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these people are, like, invading his house. I love the fact that there are no boundaries in and amongst most of the fairy tale characters. They're just like, hey, let's go in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I love when they get to Farquaad's castle, Duloc, and they, you know, you got, like, it's just knocking Disneyland. Like, they actually, no, I rephrase. They're not knocking. They are straight up punching Disneyland around because they just poke fun at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole, like, it's scary, like, how much they made Duloc. How did they not get sued by Disney for how they were making fun of them like that?
Mm.
I don't know. And they get into the, where they get in, they get into, like, more or less a wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
To the tune of Joan Jett, which was kind of awesome. And then Shrek's like, thank you, thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your waitress.
Yeah.
I don't know, what did you think of the whole kind of go to the castle and bash Disney like that?
I mean, well, it's because, you know, who runs DreamWorks? SKG. The K, yeah. The K in the SKG is Katzenberg. So, you know, that's that thing. And we'll get into that later on with the marketing. But no, I liked it because I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a, you know, yes, they are bashing on Disney, but also it's kind of cool seeing Disney from an outside perspective, honestly. You know, I mean, because of course, you know, Disney has, oh, the number one animated movie of all time, Snow White, whatever.
Yeah, and you can see, like,
yeah,
the whole, and really, like, well, a lot of people are like, they're poking fun at Disney. Well, if anyone knows, you know, the history of, you know, Katzenberg and Disney and that wasn't necessarily a poke as a knife in the ribs, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because that's just, damn.
But, like, the whole thing about this movie is the animation style was nice. It was a nice new, not new, but new for DreamWorks, as far as I know. I could be wrong. I'm not looking at anything to back this up. But, you know, it was nice seeing DreamWorks do the CGI stuff. It was nice seeing that animation style. It was nice that, and pretty much the entire score and the entire soundtrack fit the film.
Yeah.
You know, the All-Star thing, like you said, the other songs that are in it. You know, the whole scene, you know, going to fight the dragon, that was awesome. The entire movie is just great. It just is.
No, I couldn't agree, like, more. This was one of my favorite, and it is one of my favorite animated films. But, I mean, when just the idea of Shrek and Donkey on this quote-unquote quest.
Yeah.
You know, like, they travel to the castle, and there's not a whole lot in their journey, although you do kind of see them, how they build up this relationship of Shrek just wants to be left the fuck alone, and Donkey is like, so what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? You know, you have that. And they get to the castle, and like I said, this is one of my favorite sequences in the film, where Shrek basically is a grave robber at this point. I mean, there's no way about it. He's picking clothes off of corpses and wearing them. That's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot creepy, but I digress. And just like the sequence of where, you know, he uses Donkey as a decoy, and Donkey's basically, you know, crapping himself. And he goes to find Fiona, and I love that scene where his back is turned. Fiona's like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And she's like, hair in place, and then lays down in position. Oh, flowers, flowers. And she lays back down. And just the idea that, you know, she's so, like, she has this concrete idea of romanticism.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this.
Glass shatters.
Yeah, it shatters, and there's this lout. He's like, yeah, yeah, let's get to stepping, princess.
Yeah, let's get going. We need to get you to your suitor.
Yeah. And just, like, again, the way they escape, which is a pretty decent action sequence. You know, animation, how they escape, and, you know, the castle's falling apart, and the dragon's coming after them. And honestly, when they leave, and you see the look of hurt on the dragon's face, mm-hmm. I was like, aw. You know.
That dragon wanted to have a donkey show.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's nasty. Nasty.
Two reference for the win.
You're going to have to put an R rating on this one, Mike.
Yeah, they're all tagged explicit.
Yeah. But no, they just they escape, and like I said, like the dragon's hurt because, you know, she's. And Donkey just kind of gives her that last look and runs away. And it's just, it is one of my favorite sequences in the film.
Mm. But of course, Fiona is hiding a secret. She was cursed or put a spell on her or something or other. So where at sundown, she becomes, surprise, surprise, an ogre.
Yeah.
And in order to break the spell, she must have love's true kiss or whatever the hell it's. I forget what the hell. I forget how they word it.
True love's first kiss.
Yeah. True love's first kiss. And of course, you know, 3'9" Fartquard isn't even close. As you said earlier, he's got the biggest ego in the land.
Honestly, like I remember the first time I saw this movie and like seeing the character Lord Farquaad, and just how does his head not like fall over and break his neck?
He's essentially a bobblehead animation piece.
Oh God, it's just creepy, is what it is. But yeah, and I think like just how they build up on the journey from rescuing Fiona to taking her to Lord Farquaad, and you see like the smiles and back and forth with Shrek and Fiona. And I think one of the best things is like where they're after they have the meal. I think this is before, I can't remember if it's before or after the fight that they have with Monsieur Hood and his men. Mm-hmm. Where Shrek belches and he's like, oh, better out than in. And then Shrek, you nasty, from Donkey. And then Fiona starts breaking one out, and she's as nasty as you are. And Shrek just looks at her and he's like, yeah. And you kind of see the beginnings of his interest there. And then they have this other, I wouldn't call it a mugging, but they're accosted by a outlaw musical troupe led by probably the worst Robin Hood parody I've ever seen. I mean, it just, that's just, wow. Like, the inner Robin Hood fan in me is like, oh, what the, you know. But I love that scene. And then, you know, of course, it was the early aughts. So, of course, you got to have the slow-mo roundhouse 360 camera spin.
Yeah.
You know, Matrix in the house. And you get the idea, okay, Fiona's not just a princess. She's kind of a badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, it's just, like I said, that one of the best things about this first movie, I mean, it's also in the second, but in the second, it's more slapstickish.
Mm.
It's how they kind of, not pervert, but how they deal with the concept of falling in love and, you know, the, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like the concept of like, you know, this is your princess, so you should be falling in love with like, you know, this sort of guy. You know, it's the, you know, the concept of falling in love, like they really play with that in a way that it's really subtle. Cause like I said, like how Shrek and Fiona start kind of caring for each other and you see where it could be something. And then you get to the part where Donkey finds out that Fiona is this ogre by night and Shrek overhears the conversation. He doesn't necessarily see her. You know, and then he goes right back to being the ogre that he was in the beginning of the movie. Like he's hurt, you know, he's putting himself out there a little bit. Even that little bit was enough to almost break him. So I know, yeah. That's just like one of the best, one of the more subtle aspects, but one of the best aspects of the film.
Yeah. Oh yeah, most definitely. Yeah, it was, because, you know, the whole point of the curse is, you know, which form is her true form. And it turns out, and as we'll find out when we get to Shrek 2, that curses run in the family, but, you know, that her true form is being an ogre. And hey, you know, if that's the true form, that's the true form. And of course, she and Shrek fell in love in the end, and all's good, and I don't even, at this point, I don't even remember what the hell happened to Farquaad. What happened to him?
Basically, when it, you know, Shrek goes off back to the swamp, you know, what he thinks he wants, but he finds he's miserable and misses Fiona and probably Donkey to an extent, and he goes to profess his love for Fiona and, you know, kisses Fiona, and she assumes her ogre form, and this is who she's really supposed to be. And Farquaad just basically gets into this rant, who's very, I think one of the subtle things about this movie is how Farquaad is basically a fairy tale version of Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everybody else are the Jews, not knocking the Jews. I'm just saying, you know, he's got this very, Aryan ideal of fairy tale kingdoms that he wants to bring about. And he's sitting there, he's ranting and raving, and all of a sudden the dragon like bursts in and swallows him.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You know, and
they have this whole, as you mentioned earlier about Donkey giving her the smile and she smiles back when she's kind of defeated. There's this whole secondary love story between Donkey and Dragon. It's like,
And again, it's kind of like an allegory to, you know, Shrek and Fiona. Just
right.
You would not expect these two to fall in love like that.
And, well, let's face it; they really can't have anatomically correct sexual relations.
You know, Mike, I want to try and enjoy this movie. And, you know, the next time I watch this, I'm just going to be thinking, oh, God, Donkey Show, damn you, Blanchard. And no, but I love that where he...
Kokomo.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, God. Ah. Oh, you bastard. But no, I just love that he's in the middle of this absolutely psychopathic rant about, you know...
And the dragon just eats him.
Yeah, and just boom, and... You know, Shrek and Fiona get married and they depart on their journey to the sequel. I mean, their honeymoon. And we end the film with a huge karaoke version of I'm a Believer, which eventually segues into Smash Mouth's second contribution with their cover of the Monkey Song.
Yeah.
Which I actually like the cover a lot. So.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, too. I like a lot of covers just in general. We've mentioned this before over on Geekcast Radio's Music Spotlight and stuff like that when we were doing that. But, like, covers from, like, super famous bands aren't bad. But when you get into, like, bands that are just starting out and they want to be a cover band, no. I'm a Believer was great. And in the theater, I was like, oh, okay, that was an interesting, you know... Of course, by this time I was 21, but I was like, oh, okay, you know, that was a cool, interesting movie. Okay, cool. And then I didn't even really expect a sequel at all. Of course, we did get one, but I didn't even really expect it at all. But Shrek the First has gotten, for the AFI, American Film Institute, the recognition was for nominated hero for Shrek, 100 Heroes, 100 Villains. I'm a Believer was nominated for 100 Years, 100 Songs. The film was nominated 100 Years, 100 Movies. And it was number 8 animated film on AFI's top 10. So that's pretty damn cool, actually.
Yeah.
I can't believe... I actually can believe this, but you don't really hear a lot of... you know, animated films being at festivals, but it was entered into the 2001 Cannes Film Festival and was the first animated film since Disney's Peter Pan in 1953 to receive that honor. So, very interesting there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, you think of, like, you know, the whole, the prestigiousness, if that's even a word, of the Cannes Film Festival.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I mean... I certainly wouldn't have thought Shrek would have been there. I mean, but the Cannes has almost become like Sundance Film Festival in a way where it's almost part of it's like, hey, let's go here and we're going to show off our new film. And it's almost become part of the business more than something that should be a part to celebrate film. I mean, it just seems weird that Trek would be there. But then again, Cannes is like Kevin Smith's Clerks. He debuted that at Cannes. So You never know. But yeah, no, that's pretty cool. And again, like I said, Fractured Fairy Tales, which is basically was part of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and that, and just when doing the research and looking at the info you provided me, I see it now but I never thought of this before. There is the essence, the attitude of the Princess Bride, like they really kind of struck lightning twice with the Shrek, because it's very similar in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very
and
cool.
And they did not have Inigo Montoya, but I'll let that go.
Yes. As far as the box office, I'm just going to do the worldwide total, because there's too many numbers there. The worldwide total was $484,409,218. So.
Damn.
That's a lot of money.
And what was the budget on this film?
Let's see, the budget, I'm trying to think here. Film earned, doesn't show what the budget is. It's just showing, the information I have is just showing what the actual box office was. Shrek became the highest grossing animated movie ever to be released in Australia, passing the mark set by The Lion King in 1994. In the United Kingdom, Shrek regained the top spot of the British box office after being beaten out the previous week by Lara Croft Tomb Raider, earning $20.3 million since its opening in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so we are the IGN replacement crew. We have 0 to 4 rating. 0 is gnaw your own arm off before ever watching this. 1 is don't watch it even if it's free, which essentially is the same thing. 2 is worth a watch if it's free on TV. 3 is worth adding to the Netflix list. I don't even think they're on Netflix. 4 is this is a must add to your DVD collection. I really enjoy the film. These kinds of animated films for me aren't something that I look for a lot of plot. I'm not saying that Shrek doesn't have a plot. I'm just saying that I enjoyed it for what it was. So I'll give it a 4. I think somebody should have this in their DVD collection.
No, I agree with you that it is an entirely enjoyable film. It's works on a lot of subtle levels. Like, you got the family film. It's good for the kids. You got the sly, reference, like I said, the Disney bashing. Just the use of different characters, seeing the big bad wolf in grandma's clothes was, might warp a young child, but who knows? So I definitely say you should, nay, you must have this in your DVD collection. It's a classic.
Yeah. Really quick before I get into the media releases, as far as the marketing goes, we mentioned earlier about Jeffrey Katzenberg and all that stuff. Radio Disney was told not to allow any ads for the film to air on the station, stating, "Due to recent initiatives with the Walt Disney Company, we are being asked not to align ourselves promotionally with this new release, Shrek. Stations may accept spot dollars only in individual markets." Also resulting initiatives from Disney, Katzenberg, who left Disney under somewhat acrimonious circumstances in 1994, showed each and every scene to lawyers as we went along. We certainly did not want to be sued by Disney. So, at least they went through lawyers, so they wouldn't get sued.
Yeah.
So that's good. As far as the media release, it is on DVD. It's
even in 3D Blu-ray.
Yeah. 3D Blu-ray. Nobody gives a shit about 3D Blu-ray. Let's see. So that's that. It's got several video games.
Never touched them.
Me either.
Honestly, I think before this, and this is going back quite a ways, before this, the last video game or tie-in video game to a movie that I ever played was a friend of mine happened to have the Sega CD Street Fighter Van Damme game from that movie. And that was like 4 or 5 years before I saw Shrek. So yeah, it's just, I just never, movie tie-in games just don't really hold any appeal to me.
No, me either. I do find it interesting, though, that Shrek was also included as a bonus unlockable character in Tony Hawk's Underground 2.
I did not know that.
Shrek and on a skateboard. That,
I might have to play. Like, I do enjoy the Tony Hawk games, so
yeah,
have to try that. Wow. Yeah, and then, you know, they had, like, a movie adaptation of the comic, and
yeah.
I forget which company. I know there's been one or two companies since that have attempted to, you know, continue the story in the form of a miniseries and a couple of small ongoings. I know I have the trade of one where Farquaad comes back as a ghost and tries, you know, to do away with Shrek and, you know, takes Fiona as his bride. And it's,
so they try to pull a Casper sequel off of it, huh?
No. Casper would have bitch slapped that Farquaad's ghost. But no, it's actually wasn't that bad, because it captured a lot of the spirit of the movie, where, you know, Farquaad's ghost like possesses a statue of himself to, you know, try and slay Shrek, and hires the old woman in the shoe and her cycloptic son to, you know, try and do Leo Shrek as well. So it was a decent thing.
It also has its own musical. A musical, wow. musical version based on the film, with music by Janine Tesori, book and lyrics by David Lindsay Aber. Opened on Broadway on December 14th, 2008, and closed January 3rd, 2010, running for a total of 441 performances. It starred Brian D'Arcy James in the title role, Sutton Foster as Princess Fiona, Christopher Seaver as Lord Farquaad, Daniel Breaker as Donkey, and John Tartaglia as Pinocchio. A North American tour opened July 25th, 2010 in Chicago. A London production opened in the West End on June 7th, 2011. The musical received many Tony Award nominations and won the 2009 Tony Award for Best Costume Design. It received 5 Laurence Olivier Awards, award nominations, including Best New Musical. Oh my God! Some of this, and this, it isn't just for Shrek. It's for all films. Some of this, either before market or after market merchandise or other versions, just turn me off so badly. I don't know. It's like, why can't you just let the movie be without trying to turn it into a cash cow? But then again, everything is a cash cow nowadays.
Well, not Battleship, but that's besides the point.
Well, that's because essentially that's Transformers 3.5. That's all it was. They retold the Transformers 1 story without the Transformers. But
yes, Transformers 3.5. We got Liam Neeson in this one.
Get your race out of my Battleship movie. Anyway.
You got Battleship in my Ra's al Ghul.
Yes. So, final thoughts on Shrek 1.
This, I mean, out of all of them, this is, you know, it's the first, it's the best. And if you don't own this movie on DVD or
iTunes, VHS, or, yeah.
iTunes, or I know some people who still have, like, the white VHS clamshell, you know, of this. It's a must own. Like, this is seriously something that if you enjoy animated films, if you enjoy comedies, you know, if you enjoy having a complete DVD collection, it's definitely should be in there.
Yeah. Totally agree. So we are going to go to a couple of quick ads. There'll be 2 ads, and then we're going to hit the Shrek 2 trailer, and we'll come back to talk about Shrek 2.
Dearest Fiona, please join us for a royal ball in honor of your marriage. We can't wait to meet your Prince Charming. Love, Mom and Dad.
Royal ball?
We're not going.
What? Everyone
news. Anyone has turned out to honor Princess Fiona and Shrek, and oh my, the outfits look gorgeous. And look, here comes Sleeping Beauty.
I hate these ball shows. Flip over to Wheel of Torture.
I'm not flipping anywhere.
Ah, who's this? It's the one, the only.
Why don't you guys go ahead? I'll park the car.
I told you coming here was a bad idea.
They're my parents.
Hello? They locked you in a tower.
Wasn't she supposed to kiss Prince Charming and break the spell? I'd like to know how it could get any worse.
Hello, Harold.
Ah! We need to talk.
Actually, Fairy Godmother.
You remember my son, Prince Charming. Fiona and Charming will be together.
Excuse me, I need to have an ogre taken care of.
There's only one fella can handle a job like that.
Pray for mercy from... Puss.
A bullet.
Look out, Shrek! He got a piece!
Careful.
That is nasty.
This summer.
Oh, Shrek, don't worry. Things just seem bad because it's dark and rainy and Fiona's father hired a sleazy hitman to whack you.
DreamWorks Pictures presents Mike Myers.
Oh, let's keep him.
Say what? Come on, donkey. Look at him in his wee little boots.
Oh.
Eddie Murphy.
I'm melting! I'm melting!
Cameron Diaz.
Shrek?
And Antonio Banderas.
For you, baby, I could be.
Shrek 2.
Happily ever after potion.
Give me that bottle.
Donkey. You're a
stallion, baby.
Hey now, you're an awesome.
I'm tottin' in place. Yeah.
What?
We are back, and you just heard the trailer for Shrek 2, which is the 2004 American computer-generated fantasy comedy film produced by DreamWorks Animation and directed by Andrew Adamson, Kelly Ashbery, and Conrad Vernon. It is the second installment in the Shrek film series and the sequel to 2001 Shrek. The film features the voices of Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, all reprising their roles, Antonio Banderas, Julie Andrews, John Cleese, Rupert Everett, and Jennifer Saunders are part of the new cast. Like its predecessor, Shrek 2 received positive reviews, scored second largest in three-day opening weekend in the U.S. history at the time of release. So that's interesting. Shrek 2, I think I saw in theaters. I don't remember off the top of my head.
No, I saw this one in theaters as well.
You know, I think I did.
No, I definitely saw it here in Saskatoon.
Saskatoon has movie theaters?
Yes, we also have running water.
That only runs once a week.
Oh. I just... Let's move on, Mike.
Yeah. So what did you think of Shrek 2 when you saw it in the theater?
I thought this is a really good sequel. I mean, when you judge sequels, you know, my yardsticks are a great sequel and an okay sequel. An okay sequel would be like Ghostbusters 2. They know with that yardstick, it's like, yeah, it's a lot like the first. They didn't really do anything new, but it's a decent movie. Or you do something like Terminator, which basically broke the mold.
Yeah.
And was very much their own creature. This is somewhere in the middle of that. It's a great sequel. You know, you get all the principal players back. You introduce some new fan favorite characters like Puss, because you know Antonio Banderas did nothing but smile while recording that character's lines. Like, I defy you to find anybody who has seen Shrek 2 and does not absolutely love Puss. Because it's Zorro at 3 foot, you know, with 3 foot tall, however he tops out. It's,
yeah,
he's playing Zorro as a cat, but that's what's brilliant about it. It's just awesome. And then you bring back, you know, Myers and Murphy and Diaz. I loved, you know, the casting of John Cleese and Julie Andrews as, you know, mom and dad.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And was it Jennifer Saunders? I think she was part of this Britcom called Absolutely Fabulous. I'm not sure. I used to watch that on the CBC. You know, you got Rupert Everett, who I loved Prince Charming. Like, this guy was like douchebag squared, but just the way Everett played him, just, you know, with the hair tossing and all that, and how this, I love smug, completely self-assured villains like this. Because they're just so hilariously over the top. And that was Prince Charming. Like, the fact that they took Prince Charming and made him a bad guy. You know, they take the quintessential fairy tale hero and make him a complete dick.
Well, you have to, because, you know, Shrek is supposed to be the hero in this franchise.
Yeah. Well, I know, but I'm just saying, it's just, you wouldn't have expected that. I mean, he could have been like a comedic foil for Shrek, and, you know, somebody else could have been the villain and it would have played just as well. But I mean, the fact that he is a straight up, you know, mustache twirling, just villain. Yeah. I love that. And then, okay, you got Pinocchio, you got Gingy back, you got the big bad wolf, which is one of the funniest things about that first trailer. One of the first trailers where, you know, Prince Charming's going to fulfill the curse, you know, break the curse.
And the wolf up there, yeah.
And he's like, what? the one voice cast that I Larry King.
That's what I was going to say. Larry King is Doris. I did not expect that.
That was just, again, like Antonio Banderas and Puss in Boots, you know, King was just smiling in the booth that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and yeah. Was Jim Cummings back in this one?
I'm not seeing him.
You know,
no, he wasn't. I don't think so.
I mean, just some of the other like little voices that they had in here. Friggin' Joan Rivers. I did not know until as herself. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's And it was kind of cool because, like, once you get to Far, Far Away, you know, when we get into the plot, and it's very Hollywood-esque.
Yeah.
You know, you go.
Well, yeah, it is. It's very Hollywood-esque because, essentially, Far, Far Away is the Hollywood of this land. I mean, it's essentially Beverly Hills. I forgot all about this. They did not make fun of it, but they did use that joke when they pull up and Donkey is standing in the sunroof.
Yeah.
And he's looking up and you see the palm trees going by him. That's exactly like Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah. And then you got the Far, Far Away up in the hills, like the Hollywood sign.
Yep.
I mean, the voice for Captain Hook in this one, I mean, they have a awesome voice actor for the third one, and when we talk about that, you know, in another episode, I'll definitely gush on that. But Tom Waits performed Captain Hook's voice in this movie.
Yeah,
Tom friggin' Waits. I was like, that was badass.
Yeah, it was. That was so cool.
But yeah, no. Again, the cast, like I said, is back. And the one thing, like I said, if I were to pick, in case you haven't picked up on it already, if I were to pick favorite cast member, like new voice cast, it's definitely Puss. Like,
oh yeah, well, you know, he adds something. I mean, he essentially in films like this, you need another new comedic cast member like Puss to, you know, go along with Donkey, because at this point, Shrek and Fiona are married. They don't want to be left alone. They want to, you know, blame it on the boom boom, to give a bad black cherry reference, Blackstone cherry reference.
Oh,
you know, it's one of those things where you need more comedy, because it's not just a buddy film with Shrek and Donkey anymore like the first one was. It's, you know, Shrek and Fiona and
Donkey. Well, yeah, because the first one's kind of a road trip movie in a way.
Yeah.
And this one, and you need somebody other than Shrek, because Shrek's got his own deal now with Fiona, so you needed somebody. And it's just, in their own way, Puss and Donkey are just, they're the same, but wildly different.
Yeah.
And then that they're just totally in love with themselves. Just the way you meet Puss in this movie was brilliant. He's like this badass, you know, monster killer. And he just grabs the milk and he does that lap, 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 lap. And it's just, you're just like, you know, seriously. Like, you want to just think, your mind fights itself to think of as just this cute character when he's kind of a badass. I mean, despite his size and, you know, his attitude, Puss is kind of a badass, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would have to say that out of the new people, Puss is, yeah, Antonio Banderas' Puss in Boots is my favorite as well. And of course, you know, Shrek and Donkey are always great, you know, here and there. But as I said, you know, at this point in the franchise, Shrek and Fiona have just come back from their honeymoon. They still want to be left alone because they're still in that honeymoon phase of marriage and everything else. So there is that. Essentially, getting into the plot of this one is, I mean, to boil it down, it's, you know, everyone has, you know, their own happily ever after, I guess. And, you know, potions and fairy godmothers and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. You know, you said earlier that the prince was a good villain. I honestly don't think he is the villain of this piece. It's the fairy godmother that's the villain of the piece, because the prince is too damn stupid and too damn vain in his own, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, in the context of Shrek's world, he's a great villain. It's just he's not the villain.
Yeah. You know?
Because, I mean, like you said, the plot is basically Shrek and Fiona are on their honeymoon. You know, you got to go and tell them, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm married. Yeah. And, you know, the father judging the son not giving an inch. Mm-hmm. And you find out that they're, it's not, you don't, you think you know the story, but you don't know the whole story. You know, and that, and then, because the whole idea of, everyone has their happily ever after. Well, it's not always a natural happily ever after. I mean, fairy godmother is essentially a drug dealer.
She is, yes.
Or a loan shark would probably be a better allegory.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just... what a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, and that's saying something. I mean, for an animated, what is ostensibly a kid's movie, that's some, there's some fairly dark tones in this one, especially in relation to Fairy Godmother and how she's basically, you know, this super manipulative and ultimately repulsive character, and that, you know, she just, it's like a loan shark. It's like she gives you a taste and then you have to pay like more and more and more to keep it going. Like, you got to live this lie.
Yeah.
It's especially when you find out in regards to, you know, Fiona's father, King Harold. And I mean, as it starts when they get there, like you said, the opening of Beverly Hills Cop, and which is appropriate because you look at who voices Donkey.
Yes.
I mean, I love that. I was watching this last night and I can't remember, but I almost seems like they were playing some Huey Lewis as they were rolling into town. But if they weren't, that would have totally worked for that scene.
I can't remember if they were or not. But I mean, overall, the film is such a great sequel. You know, it's such a interesting way. I mean, it's not really that it's more logical that they would take it the way they did versus, oh, hey, here's these characters and they're thrown into this situation. You know, it's not just your average sequel, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, they did, like I said, it's in the middle of, you know, my T2 and Ghostbusters 2. It's just, it leans towards T2 a little bit more, that they do more in this movie with the characters. You know, they do mix it up a lot more. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're just having fun with the whole opposites. Like, I mean, especially when Shrek and Fiona roll up to the castle and you see the look of anticipation on, you know, mom and dad, and you could, I wouldn't have been surprised if somebody just, the animated somebody dropping a brick out of their hands, because that's literally the look the parents have on their face when they see Fiona. It's like, you've gained some weight.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, would have been like, it's just the way they take it. They're like, like, just that sequence is absolutely hilarious, because the father just isn't saying anything, and the mother's like, just her wheels are just spinning but not catching any ground whatsoever. So, I don't know. How did you like that, where they roll up to the castle?
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was decent and good. I'm trying to think if it was this one or if it was what we'll talk about next week. If it's this one or in the third one, where they all get I know in the third one everybody gets captured, but I could have sworn in this one when the fairy godmother took over at some point that Pinocchio was captured and put in this little box. It might be the third one I'm thinking of.
I think that is the third one, because...
Yeah, you know, I think it is, third, too.
Cause in this one, it's basically the pigs, Pinocchio, and the wolf, and Gingy are all in, like, this dungeon sort of thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The dungeon, yeah, the dungeon scene. You're wearing panties. No, I'm not. His nose grew. He's lying. No, I'm not. You enjoy it, don't you? No, I don't. And his nose cute. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
And of all the adult references you could have, it's like, yes, let's go for the underwear. No, it's the scene where, like I said before, I spoke of it before, where Charming goes to like the bar of ill repute,
mm-hmm.
to hire Puss to kill Shrek, and I love that scene. And then when Puss makes an attempt, you know, you see him, he's like talking and he's leading up to it, and all of a sudden you just hear this cat yowl, and it's like sitting there trying to scratch him, and Shrek just looks down and it's like, get off. He's more annoyed than anything, and you get the idea that maybe Puss isn't as good as he has sold himself to be. So, I don't know. I think one of the best scenes so far in the movie is where the dinner between Shrek and King Harold, where they're just staring each other down. And
right.
It's very cliched. It's been done in 100 other movies, but just the idea that how they cut back and forth from Shrek to the king, to the mother, to Fiona, and then back again. It's just, there was a rhythm to it that I really enjoyed. So.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, the overall plot of, as I said before, is, you know, Shrek is essentially this universe's hero. So everyone else that would be a villain has to be a villain. And the mother... Well, the fairy godmother, she is technically a drug-dealing loan shark. It's just one of those things where, because of who she is and what shady deals she's made, she makes a really great villain. And again, it goes to the music of how it's, you know, how it's made to be the way that... the way that it's just really, really well done as far as how villainous she is. And really, she's only wanting her, you know, for her son to have a happily ever after, you know,
yeah. I mean,
she's a jaded spellcaster. Why do all these other people get happily ever afters? I want my son to have a happily ever after.
Yeah. I mean, but that's like the lone redeeming, if you could even call it a redeeming factor for a character. But no, I get that she just wants, you know, she wants her son to have the best. On the other hand, her son's a complete douche.
Yes. Yes, he is.
And where Shrek and Donkey where they get the potion that's gonna restore Fiona's love, because at this point Shrek thinks he's gonna lose Fiona for the most asinine reason. You know, they get a happily ever after potion and they both drink it, and Shrek becomes human.
And Donkey becomes a horse's ass, even more so.
And he becomes a stallion, which is actually one of the best things. Look at me, I'm a stallion, trotting place, trotting place. You know, Donkey is, you see that scene and you know it's not going to last, but at the same time, you're kind of happy for Donkey.
Yeah.
He's just so happy, and you're like, you got to be happy with him, but at the same time, you don't want to point out, it's like, it's not going to last forever.
Yep. Yeah, it's just one of those things where this, as I said before, the sequel is just very, very well done. Just to kind of end up the plot here as far as this one goes, when it is almost midnight, Shrek tells Fiona that if they kiss now, their change will be permanent, but Fiona says that she wants to spend her life with the ogre she married, and Shrek and Fiona let the potion's effects wear off, with Donkey changing back as well, and much to his chagrin. Harold gives his blessing to the marriage, and the party resumes as Puss and Donkey, along with Mongo, sing Livin' La Vida Loca.
Oh, God, I loved Mongo. Like, the whole thing at the end where, you know, Shrek and Donkey and Gingy and the gang gets back together, and they have to assault the castle because the fairy godmother's basically going to marry Fiona and Charming and take over the kingdom. It's like a political coup.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, how do they storm the castle? Godzilla Gingerbread Man. I just love that Mongo. And Mongo basically, he shows up in the end in the singing, but you almost think he dies in the assault on the castle because he falls into the moat and, he takes, but it's, and that's honestly like a legit, I'm not saying I didn't tear up, but I felt that welling happen when Mongo went down in the assault. I was like, oh, come on.
The gumdrop buttons.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just
more
like,
milk, less steam.
Yeah. I know. But no, it's just like, and I've got this thing for not necessarily retarded characters, and I really hate saying that word, but characters like Mongo, where it's like the abominable snowman from Looney Tunes, just these really big, dumb characters like this. That are just so innocent in a way, and Mongo's just Mongo. You know,
well, they get that, don't you?
Blazing Saddles?
Well, that's not where I was going to go with it. George from Mice and Men.
No, I got that. Sorry, I was thinking Mongo because that's the big guy in Blazing Saddles.
Oh, right, but I mean, Mongo essentially is a giant version of George.
Yeah, and you all know who Gingy is, but yeah, I just love that Gingy up there on his shoulder just laughing maniacally. He's just like, he's just gone mad with power.
Yeah.
And then the whole, I love the fight between Shrek and Charming. And again, it's like the first movie, not quite as subtle, but with the first movie, like where Shrek, you know, he's been fighting for what he thinks will make Fiona happy, and he realizes I'm an idiot. Basically, he just kind of is like, fine, you know, not fine, but I mean, he realizes that he was basically being an ass, and you know, he still has his happily ever after. So, and of course, with we can't really finish the film without mentioning the post-credit scene.
Oh, yes. Good Lord, the post-credit scene. Oh, boy. In the post-credit scene, Shrek, Fiona, and Donkey are still partying in the night. Dragon, who Donkey has married following the events of the first film, arrives with her and Donkey's new children called the Dronkies.
Which are, while both at the same time really cute and extremely disturbing. Because, you know, it's just it's cute. You're like, oh God, don't let it touch me.
I don't mind the drunkies as much as I mind what'll happen next week in Tooncast Beyond with the ogre babies. Those things creep me out. God. Those things really creep me out. Getting into the box office. The film opened at number one with a Friday to Sunday total of 108 million and change, and a total of 128 million since its Wednesday launch from the then record 4,163 theaters for an average of $25,000 per theater over the weekend. At the time, Shrek 2's Friday to Sunday total was the second highest opening weekend, trailing only Spider-Man's 114 million and change. In addition, Saturday alone managed to obtain $44,797,000, making it the highest single-day gross at the time, beating Spider-Man's first Saturday gross of $43 million and change. Ranked number one its second weekend, grossing $95 million or so. Over the four-day Memorial weekend, narrowly beating out the $85 million four-day tally of new opener The Day After Tomorrow. Oh, thank God Shrek 2 beat The Day After Tomorrow. I have never seen
that movie.
It was on FX the other night, I think, a couple weeks ago. The film spent a total of 10 weeks in the weekly top 10 and stood in theaters for 149 days, roughly 21 weeks, closing on November 25th, 2004. That's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the box office, of course. Roger Ebert gave it 3 out of 4 stars, saying that it's bright, lively, and entertaining. Yay for positives from Roger Ebert. Shrek 2 won 5 People's Choice Awards. Let's see. Favorite animated movie, favorite animated movie star for Donkey, Eddie Murphy, favorite movie comedy, and favorite movie villain for Fairy Godmother, Jennifer Saunders. Favorite sequel, it also won 2 Teen Choice Awards. Academy Award for was nominated for the Academy Award Best Animated Feature, but lost to The Incredibles. Well, duh. One of the film's songs, Accidentally in Love, received nominations for the Academy Award for Best Original Song, Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song, and a Grammy Award for Best Song Written for a Motion Picture, Television, or Other Visual Media. The American Film Institute nominated Shrek 2 for its Top 10 Animated Films list as well. So, we are the IGN replacement crew here, 0-4. What do you give Shrek 2?
I'm somewhere between, I'm a 3.5. Like, it's worth adding to your Netflix queue. But if you love the first one, I would definitely recommend picking up the DVD.
Yeah.
On this, it's, like I said, I love it as it's one of my favorite sequels. You know, if I were to make a top 10 list, it's definitely on there. And it's just, it's a great movie overall. I mean, especially, you know, you continue the story of Shrek and Fiona and, you know, it introduces one of my favorite characters in the franchise and Puss in Boots. And it's a great movie. I seriously, if anyone ever gave this movie a 1, like, don't watch it, even if it's free, they would expect to find a lynch mob in their front door. I'm not saying I'm going to be there, but I'll provide torches, you know? It's just like, how could you not love this movie, basically?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I agree. I don't think a lot. I actually don't think any of the Shrek films are on Netflix. So, I mean, if you find it at like a discount DVD store and it's like, I don't know, $7-8, I'd pick it up.
Yeah.
For a DVD. And it is on DVD. It's It was the first film with over 4,000 theaters in overall count. Overall, over 3,700 theaters was its count for an opening day. Spider-Man 2 was the first film with over 4,000 theaters for an opening day. Originally going to release in June 2004, the film then planned to release on May 21st, 2004. Though Shrek 2 released on May 19th, 2004, 2 days before, a day before the film went to theaters, the first 5 minutes were shown on Nickelodeon's YouPick Live. The home media Far, Far Away Idol is an extra on the DVD and VHS, so it is on DVD and VHS as well. It's also on the Blu-ray that was released on December 1st, 2010, along with the other three films in the series. So, very, very awesome. We are going to head to some more ads, and then we're going to come back to close out the show. So, we'll be back after this.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I am Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds
good. Yeah, that's all right.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
We are back, and of course, for you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. All right, JT, final thoughts on the first two Shrek films.
Great movies, entertaining as all hell, funny. I'm going to say the first one is probably close as you're likely to find a perfect family film nowadays. But, yeah. I mean, overall, there's something for everyone. And I mean, mom, dad, the kids, and grandma and grandpa. Because my own grandmother loves Shrek, like the first one, so... And if that's not a ringing endorsement, I don't know what is. Yourself?
You know, the same. I really enjoyed them. Not to give my hand away for next week's episode, but I enjoy the entire franchise for what it is. I look at these animated films as essentially just popcorn, you know, turn your brain off movies and not really, you know, put too much stock into it. I know a lot of other reviewers on the internet would, you know, analyze the hell out of it, nitpick the hell out of it. And I'm sure there's stuff that really doesn't make any sense, but I mean, they pretty much set it up from the first film. This is a fairy tale land. Stuff won't make sense, even to its own environment, at times. Overall, the first two films are great. I absolutely love them. They were the only two out of the four that I saw in theaters. I know I did not see next week's episode, Shrek 3 and 4, in theaters. You got anything you want to pimp out?
Basically,
my podcast is dead.
Okay, 2 seconds. Damn it, Blake. There you go. That's the first t-shirt you should make for the Geekcast Radio Networks. Damn it, Mike. check out authenticgeek247.blogspot.com. I'm sporadically posting at the moment. Hopefully within the next week we're going to start recording again for the show. And I know there's one on there, one of the upcoming episodes I got to talk to Mike off air about if he'll be able to contribute. But we'll coming soon.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There's always get in contact with us. Leave feedback for the show. Leave us, send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every one of the posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
It's at JT from Saskatoon. All one word.
Yes. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this, the season 2 premiere of TuneCast Beyond, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing on in the season of DreamWorks with the Shrek franchise part 2. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
JT from Saskatoon.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
I'm making waffles.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.